You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm doing great, Gabe. Calendar turns to October. This is where it starts getting real. Temperature goes down a little bit. Football starts getting a little more physical. I love it.
Yeah, I hear that. You've been watching some Major League Baseball playoffs, though? Throughout the week?
I got both of the games right now up on the multi-view on YouTube TV. It's dramatic, man. You can feel the tension.
Yeah, we have some good wild card matchups, brother. Red Sox Yankees. That'll do it for me. I enjoy that. Dodgers. Reds Dodgers, that's a dud. At least if game one tells us anything.
It's a dud, but at least when you have Ohtani just hitting bombs like that, that's worth the price of admission alone, you know?
Yep, for sure. All right, now I need to ask you off top. I've been part of the hive since the offseason, since all the hype came out about this guy. But are you part of the Dante Moore hive, having seen him go on the road with his Oregon team and beat that Penn State team in double overtime in the whiteout game and basically lift themselves up to number two in the country? Are you part of the Dante Moore hive?
I don't know if I'm a part of the hive for anything regarding Oregon, but I will say that I'm extremely impressed with how he played in that environment, because whatever anybody wants to say about Penn State in these big games or James Franklin.
Oh, we'll get to that, Colt. You just wait. We'll get to that.
Playing at Penn State at night, that environment is still really, really crazy. And for a young quarterback in terms of just inexperienced game reps like Dante Moore in those type of environments to play the way he did, not turn the ball over, not throw any interceptions, throw three touchdowns and win in a double overtime. You know, there were some awesome throws. There were some exceptional plays he made. But I think the thing that I like more about his performance is just avoiding the negatives, because it's so easy for these quarterbacks to go out and try to do too much. And he didn't really do that. The only, you know, funny thing he really did was that spin move in the open field early in the game on that fourth down that he didn't pick up, or the third down, whatever it was. But outside of that, man, he was just pretty composed, pretty cool, pretty calm. And I think more than anything, if you're a part of that hive or you're an Oregon fan, that's what you have to love to see about him.
Yeah, and also I think if you're an Oregon fan, you love to see the rest of your schedule. Once you get through this Indiana game in a couple of weeks, because they have the open week this week, the bye week, then they're going to have at home against Indiana. The rest of that schedule is cake. It seems like a cakewalk in the Big Ten. You have at Rutgers, you have versus Wisconsin, at Iowa, which always is a little tricky. Ask Indiana last week. Minnesota, USC, and at Washington to end the year. It looks like a cakewalk on paper.
How dare you disrespect Greg Schiano like that? You don't just go into Piscataway and walk out with a win.
Why not? Why not? I've seen plenty of people do it in the Big Ten. What are we talking about?
No, I agree with you. You look at it, and that Indiana game in a couple weeks is going to be really fun. And it feels like you can already feel the swell of whether you support Indiana or don't like Indiana. It feels like we're just running back the same thing as last year with Indiana. And I think whatever happens in that game, the avalanche of takes is just going to be tremendous. And if you're an Indiana fan, that's how you know you've made it to major college football. But yeah, I think that Oregon, on paper at least, should be able to walk out of this at most with just one loss. You know, there's still some tricky hurdles, but I think you got to be feeling pretty comfortable right now as an Oregon supporter that at the very least you're going to make it to Indianapolis and you're pretty secure with your playoff future.
Didn't quite expect to ask this question today, but since Indiana has come up within this Oregon conversation, I need to ask you, do you think Indiana's better than they were a year ago? Because I saw them in that game against Illinois, and it certainly looked that way. They followed up at Iowa. It's always tough, but they pulled out a win in a relatively tough environment. It's hard to win in Iowa in Kinnick. We get that part of it. But do you think they're better than they were a year ago?
I think it's too early to make the case because the first three games of the season, Old Dominion, Kennesaw, Indiana
Old Dominion. Aging is a pretty decent win, isn't it?
Yeah. It actually is. They went in and they smacked Liberty. And, you know, like you said, I'm never going to judge any team going into Iowa and squeaking out with a win and hold that against them. If you just walk out of Iowa City with a dub and you just grind it out against what Kirk Ferentz wants to do, that's totally fine with me. I think we will see, whether win or lose, kind of where Indiana stands when they make that trip to Oregon. And they still have to play on the road at Penn State. They still got to play at Maryland, who at very least looks like a baseline solid team. So there's a couple more litmus tests for them. But I think it's a little bit too early. But if you want to make the case, I can see it based off of what they did against Illinois. And then Illinois gets that USC win. And you don't just beat another team like that by 53 points. So I think you can make the case for it right now. But I'm waiting to see a couple more pieces of evidence, but at the very least, I'm not entertaining any conversation about Indiana being a fraud.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt about that. Now, on the other side of that Oregon game, we had a loser, right? At home, Penn State loses. James Franklin's record against top 10, AP top 10 opponents dropped to 2-21.
That's, we know what to expect.
We know what to expect from him. And probably talking to an Ohio State guy about this is probably not the best thing, because I think your answer would be like, James Franklin, give him a lifetime contract, keep him there forever, because ultimately we know how he's going to perform in those big games. But like, how should Penn State fans feel about James Franklin and the job he's done? Because it's 10-11 wins. They were in the college football playoff semifinal last year. Seemingly could get into another college football playoff this year, even with this early loss to Oregon. But at the same time, you just know that step from good to great seemingly won't come and hasn't come to this point.
You know who James Franklin reminds me of? And I'm definitely not the first person to bring this up, given some of the stats that were flying around and what their program kind of is right now, is prime Virginia Tech under Frank Beamer. Because I think Frank Beamer's the only one with a worse major record in those big, whatever it was, top five, top 10 games. And I think the scrutiny and the media pressure now is way more than it was back then for Frank Beamer. And of course, Penn State is on a different level in terms of how they're viewed nationally than Virginia Tech. But I don't think I can really tell Penn State fans how to feel, because I think on one hand, you look at the cruising altitude that James Franklin has them at. And you mentioned, you know, they've won 10 or more games, like 6-7 times, right, in the past 10 years. So how many programs would trade that? But when you not only lose these games, but it feels like When you can't get a couple of them, you know, the one that they got was Ohio State in 2016, and that's such a classic, you know, moment in Penn State history. But even that one, I'm not trying to take away from it just because my team lost, but it came off a blocked kick. And so there was just like a miraculous type of nature to it. There's never been one of these games, whether it's against Michigan or Ohio State or one of these top-level teams, where Penn State has not only not won, but asserted their dominance or won handily or kind of made that statement of like, okay, yeah, here we are. This is, we're staking our claim to being a top five solidified program. So I don't think I can really tell Penn State fans how to feel, because when you lose these games over and over and over again, and even when they're close, it feels like, okay, our baseline talent level is good enough to win, but whether it's coaching or these intangibles, you start to build up a resume where at this point, like, you can't just say, it's close game luck, because they've lost so many of these games that it just feels like a feature of James Franklin and not a bug.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, I think some people would say, obviously, in the Big Ten, you're competing with the top end of it. You have Oregon added to it. Ohio State's going to be there. Of course, Michigan's normally there. Like, people would make that excuse for him. But I would say he's on the same playing field as those teams, truthfully. And I don't think it's ridiculous, especially when we look at history, to say that Penn State should compete for a national title and go in undefeated potentially every 5 to 10 years. And he just hasn't quite gotten to that hump. So that's the problem I have. I feel like they are a program with a tremendous history and have done a hell of a job through multiple coaches. And James Franklin hasn't quite lived up to the expectation, even though he has been a good coach. It's sort of the Brian Kelly experience at Notre Dame. That's kind of how I feel at this point.
I think he initially in his first whatever it was, 5 to 7, 8 years, exceeded expectations greatly. But then once you build a certain level for yourself, he hasn't exceeded those expectations in the past 3 years. And I think we're at the point where, you know, I'm not going to poo-poo them winning 2 playoff games, but you do look back and say, you look back and see that they beat SMU and they beat Boise State, and that those wins aren't really carrying as much cachet as they would if you win this game against Oregon, you win one of these games against Ohio State. Those games can't be his 2 aces. He's got to have a couple of other aces, and then those 2 other playoff wins they got last year in his back pocket where he can pull out and say, okay, I have the top wins, but I also have these as well.
All right. I have a very broad question to ask you based on what we saw last week. Alabama goes into Georgia, wins 24-21. But it's just such a mixed bag of data points and results for them so far this year. They lose to Florida State week 1. Florida State turns around last week, loses to Virginia in double overtime. And even in that game against Georgia, kind of a mixed bag. First half, Ty Simpson and that offense absolutely rolling. Second half, I think they stayed on the field really well. I think they converted 13 and 19 third downs, but they didn't score a single offensive point or a point in general in the second half. What do I do with Alabama? Like, what do I do? Because I feel like this is playing out the exact same way as last year, where you just don't feel like they're the same. Then they spring that pseudo upset against Georgia, and now there's some people that say they're back, and then there's people like me that say, well, let's just hold on a second. The rest of the SEC slate's going to be tough for them, and quite frankly, starting this week at home against Vanderbilt, who's 5-0 and is rolling.
I'm kind of right there with you, and going back to what I said about Indiana, I feel kind of the same way about Alabama, where I'm still, okay, I need a few more data points, and we're going to get those in the next 3 weeks, starting this Saturday with Vanderbilt, and then at Missouri, who looks phenomenal right now, and then Tennessee as well. And so I don't think it's unfair to kind of dim the expectations are a little bit, or the hype after, you know, after they win this game against Georgia, because I think at the very least for me, they washed the stink off of the Florida State game. They've earned that benefit of the doubt for me, as ugly as that was, them beating Georgia on the road, no matter how kind of wonky it looked at times. I think at the very least you can look back at that week 1 game and say, okay, they got back to zero. I'm not looking at them the same way that I did as I did after August 30th in that game at Florida State. So now they play Vanderbilt. We already know the storyline going into this one. And now I think it's time to see what the real 2025 Alabama team is starting this week, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And correct me if I'm wrong. This is sort of where I have been with them. I think the mixed bag of defensive results is the problem I have right now. Offensively, I think Ty Simpson is rolling. I think he has a good feel for it. Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer always draw up a good offensive game plan. I don't think that's going to be the issue. But I think week to week in the SEC, once they get into the heart of SEC play, that's where I want to see if defensively they can keep up and do what they did against Georgia on a consistent basis.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you look at, again, these next three offenses that they play, and even, I guess, four, if you want to count just going up against Lenora Sellers in South Carolina with him at quarterback, you're going to see more kind of high octane and some of the stuff that Florida State was able to do with Tommy Castellanos, where you have a little bit more movement, you have a little more bit more dynamicism than what, you know, Georgia's offense wants to do and is able to do. That's where that real test for the Alabama defense is going to come in, because these next couple offenses they're playing are much more dynamic than Georgia or Wisconsin or Louisiana Monroe. They're much more in the same vein as a Florida State.
All right, now, notable cold beer old drinker, Sam Pittman was fired last week after a 56-13 loss to Notre Dame. I do feel like we from him being fired, he's not dead or anything, but we lost one of my favorite coaches in college football. But it's a results based business. You can't have three straight losses and the third one being 56-13 on your home field. Just can't do that at Arkansas and expect to keep your job. So he's out of a job now. Bobby Petrino takes over. When you look at the Arkansas job, one, how good of a job do you think it is? And two, what kind of candidates would you sort of throw out there as, okay, this would make sense at Arkansas, this could get Arkansas going?
In terms of how great of a job it is, I think going back to a couple of weeks ago, it gives me pause when the AD's out there saying publicly that, hey, basketball's in perfect position to win a national championship, baseball's in perfect position to win a national championship, but football, not so much. And whether you want to throw that on donors or NIL, I don't know the ins and outs of the Arkansas program like that, but just hearing an athletic director say that out loud is troubling.
Well, he said in football they're bottom three. They're bottom three in the SEC is what I heard Hunter Yurecek say.
And when you see other SEC teams thriving right now, and when you see a Vanderbilt right now doing what they're able to do, you know, what's really the excuse for Arkansas not just being able to be competent or be able to compete within the ranks of those? I'm not saying that they need to be able to go head-to-head with Georgia or LSU or Alabama, but why can't they be in the middle right there? That's kind of what, right, I don't understand. And in terms of who's up for the job, I mean, it seems like everybody's go-to is Rhett Lashley, and yep. I don't know if, you know, unless you're just getting a significant pay raise, whether you want to leave the spot you have in the ACC and with SMU right now and in Dallas and with what they're able to do with their money situation for Arkansas, where you do already, you're walking into that situation where the AD has said, hey, we're not prepared to compete, not just for a national championship, but if you're not able to compete for a national championship, you're not going to be able to compete in the SEC at all. So why would you really want to step into that? But I guess, you know, money at the end of the day, that's going to be the determining factor. I really think that Bobby Petrino is going to do everything that he can, yeah, to get the full-time job here, because that's what he's always wanted.
Right.
And I hope that doesn't happen for
Arkansas. That's what I'm saying. But I hope the higher-ups at Arkansas have some damn self-respect about him. Even if he went undefeated the rest of the year, just don't do it. Don't get back. He made a mockery of your school. He did. I don't think you can hire a guy back like that as a full-time head coach. I even had a problem with him as OC, quite frankly.
And what's troubling about that whole situation is, of all the places he's been and he's left, I guess if you want to look, I think he got fired at Louisville, right? So he didn't have a choice there. But every other job that he's had, he's kind of left on bad circumstances, whether it was, you know, leaving the Falcons or saying he wanted to stay at Louisville for the rest of his life and then leaving. The Arkansas one, he may have been in that job for a while, and then, you know, everything on the motorcycle happened. And so I think I've already seen a little bit. You have Arkansas fans rationalizing, okay, well, he never wanted to leave us in the first place. It was a mistake that he made. You know, this is the way of it coming back around and him getting that job again, and he's more mature. And whatever. I just don't want that for them. So I hope it doesn't play out that way.
Right. And to your point about the money with Arkansas, and can they find themselves, at least in football, in sort of that middle tier, it seems like there's no reason, or you know, no monetary reason, donor reason, that they should be held back in that regard. But I do think they are one of many schools dealing with the house settlement era and trying to decide, hey, where do I want to pour my resources? You know what I mean? Like, do I feel like I can compete for a national title in football? The answer is probably no. But in basketball and in baseball, they feel like they can, and they should feel like they can. It's very rare now in college athletics to find the jack-of-all-trades schools. You know what I mean? I think Tennessee does a decent job of it. Alabama has found their way to it. But there's very few schools that can fund every program, major program on campus, and be successful in all of them.
Yeah, it's way more difficult. I see it now with Ohio State. Ohio State basketball has been largely irrelevant for the past 15 years.
Georgia basketball. How about that?
Yeah, having such a great run, there's a couple of programs. And then you look at a school like Florida, whose baseball team is always popping. They just won a national championship in basketball. But they just can't quite find their footing in football. So even some of these, you know, major, major schools where there's a lot of money floating around, it's very tough. It's very difficult now to find that equal footing on everything if you're trying to, you know, in an ideal world, compete for a national championship in every sport. It's just not... It's not like how it was 20 years ago. It's almost impossible, quite honestly.
Yeah, now, a great transition, because I was just about to bring up Florida this week. They're coming off a bye. Texas is as well, but they're at home in the swamp against Texas. I need your permission, I guess. Am I allowed to side-eye this game? And am I allowed to have the thought in my head that, hey, this could go into the fourth quarter and Florida could have a chance to win? Now, do I think Billy Napier's going to out-coach Sark if it's a close game in the fourth quarter? Absolutely not. But am I allowed to side-eye this game going into this week?
Brother, you're not only allowed to side-eye it, I'm going to be right there with you because I think Florida's going to beat Texas outright.
Oh, my gosh. You genuinely think, like, we're wrong team favored. Florida handles business at home. Like, you think that right now. Yes. Give me your reasoning behind that. I know the Arch Manning not being what we thought he was going to be definitely plays a factor here. But also, let's not forget on the other side with Florida's quarterback, DJ Lagway ain't what we thought he was going to be. 5 picks, followed that up with a 60-yard performance a couple of weeks ago.
This is what Florida does under Billy Napier, man. And it's, to me, I maybe it's that I want to see it as much as I think it'll happen. And there's honestly, I can't sit here and give you a concrete reason of like, Florida's going to be
my gut. It's my gut.
Yeah, they're a better team because when you look at last year, you know, Florida loses that game to Georgia where they played decent with, I think it was EJ Warner at quarterback, but they ultimately lose 34-20, and then they just get smoked on the road in Austin. And then the next week, they beat LSU, then they beat Ole Miss, and they close out the season, and Billy Napier saves his job. I think this is just what his teams do. I'd be very surprised if the Billy Napier era ends with like 5-6 straight losses. I think he is such a clone of Ron Zook that at least at some point by the end of the year, his team will find a way to either beat Texas this week or beat A&M the week after that or beat Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Florida State. One of those teams, or maybe two of them, they're going to beat, and it's going to give people that reason to be like, oh, man, you see what Billy Napier is like when everything's really on there? And it's just like, no, that's just what they are. They can lose to anybody. They can beat anyone. They can look terrible. terrible one week and then pull one out the next week. And I think just in terms of Texas, I'm just still not impressed with what I've seen from them offensively. So going into the Swamp, I'm rolling with Billy Napier and the Gators. There's no real reason behind it, but I think it's just one of those,
how about I give you a reason,
games where they find a way.
How about I give you a big reason, just like a big picture reason. When you look at the SEC from that 35,000-foot view, right, like you see – it's just different than it ever was, you know, pre-NIL, pre-house settlement, right? Like, the days of a team running through their SEC slate, separating themselves, being that undefeated team, it's just, it seems like it's close to over. Like, right now, if you just look at the SEC standings and look at the teams that are undefeated and look at the teams that have one loss, Ole Miss, Mizzou, Oklahoma, A&M, and Vandy are all undefeated. Teams that have a loss as of right now are all the usual suspects that would be the teams that would separate themselves. Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas. It's such a strange world we live in the SEC with the amount of parity we see week to week.
I also think every year, too, we go through conference play, and for the most part, we get the results that we expect. We haven't had too many super, super shocking upsets yet this season. And then we hit conference play, and then like last year, it was September 28th, Ole Miss went to Kentucky in a game that nobody was talking about. They played them at home, and they lose 20-17, and you're thinking, like, how the hell did that happen? And it's because in conference play, these teams are so familiar with each other, and the games are so much tighter that the difference between what you're seeing in these non-conference games isn't there as much in these conference games, especially in the SEC. And I don't mean to just say, like, hey, anything can happen each week. But once we do get into conference play, I think people forget that, like, when you go on the road to a place like the Swamp or like Iowa City, you start to get to that territory as a contender where, yeah, you want to look your best, you want to show out, you want to make your playoff case down the road, but ultimately you just want to get out with a win. If you're going into a place like the Swamp, you have to just find a way to get out with a win no matter what. And I think for a team like Texas, they're going to go into an environment where the Ohio State game was, it was loud, it was crazy, but it was also a noon kick. It was the first game of the season. Everybody kind of knew, hey, this one isn't really going to count playoff wise. This is a mulligan for whichever team loses. Right. This one, not so much. SEC game, lot at stake. So, and I think that's for all the games this week, because now we're just deep into conference play. That, hey man, you just got to find a way to go in when you're playing on the road and win.
Yeah. All right. Now, I think it was your first segment of the year here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, where we talked about our shared memories of Brendan Lewis as the starting quarterback for the Carl Durrell Colorado Buffaloes. But so far this year, he is completing 67% of his passes, 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions through the air, and he's run for 353 yards, 6 touchdowns, en route to what is a 5-0 start for a Memphis team that has, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, the best chance to be the group of 5 representative in the college football playoff. Is this cool to see for you? I know that, like, usually we look at these, like, 5th and 6th year quarterbacks, we say, go get a damn job. But for Brendan Lewis, he's been through football misery at every single stop. And for me, having known where he started, it's kind of cool to see him in this situation, being able to thrive and at least be in a winning situation for once.
I love it, man, because the stuff at CU was never really his fault. He was just thrown into the fire, and when the offense and him were getting booed against TCU in 2022 at home and they were just getting smacked, they weren't booing him. They were booing the situation. They were booing Carl Durrell. They were booing the situation that all those kids were being put in and what that team was. And so for him to just keep grinding and to persevere is special, man. I love it. And that's why, beyond just our friendship and seeing what Memphis can become and what it does for you and the show, I'd love to see them make a run, because his story is all about perseverance. And I went back and watched the highlights from the game they played against Florida Atlantic on Saturday. Man, he took that shot to the back, and on the next drive goes out with a dart for whatever it was, like that 65-yard touchdown.
And at one point he had an issue with his throwing shoulder, came back into the game, uncorked a couple of deep balls. It's tough.
It's toughness, man. It's physical toughness. It's mental toughness to go from that grind of being Colorado's starting quarterback for a couple years, thrown into the fire. You leave. You go to a place like, you know, no shade to Reno, but you go and be Nevada's quarterback for a couple of years, and then you build yourself back up to where you get to a place like Memphis, who has this quarterback history, has this recent history of success where, hey, we win some games here. We could make the playoff. And you start putting together.
You walk in tired and hungry. One bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors. From fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Week after week after week that you're a solid quarterback, you beat Arkansas, and then you get into conference play and you're 5-0. I love to see it, man, and I don't think there's any CU fan out there who has any bad blood for Brendan Lewis. I think everybody's rooting for him.
Well said, brother. Well, I'll let you roll on that note. Appreciate it, Colt.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. He is Colton Denning, owner of Two Stripe CPD. Make sure you go subscribe. He has his hot seat rankings every single week. And also go subscribe to his YouTube channel, youtube.com/Colton Denning. Those hits of the week will be published every single, I think, Monday or Tuesday. But he'll have his hits of the week out there if you go subscribe to youtube.com/Colton Denning. And if you want to follow him on X, it is @Dubsco. All right, time to go ahead and blitz right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Make sure you stick around.
Now, the biggest stories overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
All right, Gabe. Angels manager Ron Washington has been let go, and they're starting their search. The first name that has emerged, Albert Pujols. Pujols will be interviewed for the Angels manager job per The Athletic. He spent 10 years in Anaheim and made over $220 million playing for the Angels.
I don't know if you have to remind me of that. He's stolen away from my St. Louis Cardinals, but he gave us some good years and gave us a couple of championships, so I'm not complaining. Didn't give the Angels much by the end of it. It was one of those long deals.
It's one of those deals where when someone brings up Albert Pujols on the Angels, you have to remember it, because I still to this day only think of him as a St. Louis Cardinal.
Yes, 100%. He'll go into the Hall of Fame as a Cardinal, there's no doubt.
Without a doubt. If he goes in as an Angel, he's storming.
He's skipping some steps, and I think he deserves to skip steps. I mean, this was a guy who was not very highly thought of before he became who he was. 600 home run club, just consistently hitting over 300. One of the best pure hitters of my generation.
I mean,
it was
ever.
Unbelievable.
Just simply ever.
Ever. He was so fun to watch, and it was so great. And the amount of great memories I have of him in a Cardinals uniform, it's just like, it's unbelievable. Like, I still remember him hitting it over the train tracks against the Astros. They went on to lose the series, but they won a game six because he just killed a ball Brad Lidge threw up there. I think it was a circle change that just got hung, and he hit it over the train tracks and whatever the park's called now. But it was a lot of good memories of Albert Pujols. He deserves some looks, but he is skipping steps. He's never been a hitting coach, never been a bench coach, never been anything like that. His most high-profile managerial gig or coaching gig was actually slated for this spring in the World Baseball Classic when he was supposed to be the manager of his home, the Dominican Republic. So, like, that was what he was going to do. I know he wants to get into managing, but, you know, he has skipped some steps to get to this point. I love the idea, though, of Albert Pujols being a manager in Major League Baseball. And here's where I want to go with it, because I had a conversation yesterday, multiple conversations about the Cardinals and where they're headed with Chaim Bloom. Now, you have a different take on Bloom as a Red Sox fan than George had yesterday as a Rays fan. Very good with the Rays, can moneyball it. Once he got a little bit more money with the Red Sox, even though they don't want to spend in the top 3 to 5, he just wasn't the same guy. Didn't really get that farm system going, but he's got his lane, and I feel like he can do okay with the Cardinals. But here's where I want to go with this. I hope Chaim Bloom at some point gets rid of Ali Marmol and goes and looks at one of the former Cardinals. And I think the former Cardinal I want him to look at is Yadier Molina. Yadier Molina's already been a manager in the World Baseball Classic. I feel like he's been ripping and roaring, wanting a job like that, and I can't think of a better reunion than that. If Albert Pujols doesn't get signed or hired this offseason as the Angels coach, even though it looks like he'll probably be the manager, it looks like he's emerging as the top candidate at this moment, I think they should give a look to him. But I hope the Cardinals do something like that, because I think it would reinvigorate the fan base in a pretty substantial way. Obviously, what will reinvigorate that Cardinals fan base is signing good free agents and having a good team and having good talent. Hopefully that happens as well, but I think a good first step would be bringing back a former Cardinal that's a Hall of Famer to manage the ball club. But I love this idea from the Angels. I think it's a really good one.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Angels, what do you have to lose? I just don't think that you have much to lose. You're already a bottom dweller in the MLB. You have the dumbest name in sports. You might as well bring Albert
Pujols.
The Angels Angels with Albert Pujols. You might as well bring him back in. I think that they're probably still paying him anyway based on the salary that they gave him. So he might already be under contract technically. I like the idea. I do think it's a little
odd. I don't think he had deferred money, but
he may be skipping some steps, and that there is a risk there, but sometimes to get ahead in sports, you got to take a bit of a risk.
And here's the other concern that you do have with guys of his stature. Pete Rose was never a good manager. And maybe because he was betting and doing some things behind the scenes that were a little questionable. But like, when you have that great ball player, I think always the running concern is he expects his players to be on his level. And I hope Albert Pujols doesn't expect any of his players to be on his level, because there's not a lot of players that we've ever seen that have been on Albert Pujols' level. So that's a running concern. But I think we've seen examples of other coaches of that stature, former Hall of Famers in various walks of the sports world, have success even after having a Hall of Fame playing career.
Well, if you look across the sport, there's plenty of former players, not just Hall of Fame players, that have turned out to be great managers or even good managers. And right now, what the Angels need is just a good one. Just start at good and work your way up from there. So, yeah, I think that Albert Pujols makes sense for them. It seems like that they're considering a couple of other former players. Like, I saw Michael Young's name thrown out there. I saw Torrey Hunter's name thrown out there. So it seems like they want to go the player route. And listen, as a Red Sox fan, I can tell you, Alex Cora, he's been great.
Yep.
There's a reason that the Red Sox, after Alex Cora got popped for the cheating when he was the bench coach on the Astros, which did happen. He was a part of that scandal. I will admit it. I'm not saying he wasn't.
Yeah, of course.
There's a reason the Red Sox were just like, no, we'll wait
Cora
out the suspension.
Cora was a relatively big part, wasn't he?
It was a huge part.
Yeah, he was probably the biggest part.
He kind of orchestrated it.
And then Jeff Lew now and everybody else fell on the sword for him.
Yeah, so A.J. Hinch, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a reason that the Red Sox waited, and just when his suspension was over, they brought him back as the manager. I think that former players can turn out to be great managers. And listen, I think that Aaron Boone has had a couple rough decisions by the Yankees, one of which last night, but he's still been a good manager for them. Go look at the history of the Yankees. A lot of former players there, a lot of success. Don't mind this decision at all. And then when it comes to the Cardinals, Yachty would be perfect.
I think he'd
just
be awesome.
He would be perfect because he would bring it would make the fans happy, put people back in the seats, which I think is going to be important.
I think he would be really, I mean, catchers especially have a very vast knowledge of the game of baseball. And they know sort of how things are supposed to look, no situational substitutions. They make all the play calls there for the infield. Like, I think that a catcher especially is sort of suited to be a manager in a managerial role.
A manager in baseball, I think it is underrated how important they are to the casual fan.
Yes.
Like somebody that's just because I think a lot of people think, oh, well, they set the lineup, they choose who's pitching.
But isn't that kind of a double-edged sword? Because I think the people that know baseball overrate the manager's role.
I don't know
to
if
a
you
certain
can
extent.
Overrate.
Okay, okay.
I think because they are in charge of the mood in the locker room, they're in charge of pinch running, pinch hitting, decisions with the lineups.
And
we have watched managers lose games all the time. As a Red Sox fan, I have watched managers lose games. When they're playing the Yankees, I've watched Yankees managers lose games when they're playing the Red Sox. I'm sure as a Cardinals fan, you've seen managers lose games. It happens all the time. A bad managerial decision can cost you. So that's why it would be a risk for the Angels to go after somebody like Albert Pujols. But if you're going to go after and take a risk, I think Pujols is the type of guy to take a risk on.
I don't mind. And again, I think getting back to like making the main thing the main thing. Splashy hires, reinvigorating a fan base does mean something to the two organizations we've been talking about. The Angels need some reinvigoration with their fan base. Cardinals need the same thing. So I think that this is a good route for both of those organizations.
WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert has responded to Nafisha Collier via statement after Collier said that we have the best league in the world, we have the best fans in the world, but we have the worst leadership in the world. Here is what Kathy had to say. I have the utmost respect for Nafisha Collier and for all the players in the WNBA. Together, we have all worked tirelessly to transform this league. My focus remains on ensuring a bright future for the players and the WNBA, including collaborating on how we continue to elevate the game. I am disheartened by how Nafisha characterized our conversations and league leadership, but even when our perspectives differ, my commitment to the players and to this work will not waver.
Boom. Yeah, it's just the worst.
What a terrible statement.
Terrible. I mean, just
awful.
Feeble.
Awful.
Feeble statement. For someone who called you out and brought direct messages and conversations to the table, where you said that you guys should be bending over backwards for me for what I did with this new TV deal. For a commissioner that said, well, Caitlin Clark, talking about, should be happy that she has the platform in the WNBA to make $16 million worth of sponsorship deals. I have news for you. She did that in college. She didn't need you to be able to make that type of sponsorship deal. You're just the only option. Don't act like you're some, savior for Caitlin Clark. She would do it herself. So, And I think just generally Kathy Engelbert has been a bad face for the WNBA, and she has made terrible decisions. She can talk about the TV deal all she wants. Yeah, it's record-breaking, but the WNBA is in a record-breaking era. You just took whatever the NBA offered you. You took whatever these TV partners offered you. You didn't do anything extra. There probably wasn't a whole bunch of back and forth there. You're in a golden era with Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers and Nafisa Collier and Aja Wilson and all these unbelievable household names in the WNBA that you've never really had before. And it seems like you just sort of settled with whatever they brought to you. And I'm not going to give you credit for a TV deal in that particular situation. And I think it's pretty telling, by the way, how former players and current players talk about you as a commissioner. I don't think Adam Silver's the best commissioner in the world, but do you see NBA players walking around saying that on podcasts and saying that in their exit interviews? Hell no, you don't. I don't think he's made the right decisions every step of the way for the NBA, but I still think the NBA players are on his side and want to work with him, whereas WNBA players aren't there. I heard Elena Deladon, who retired, it was 2 years ago or last year, she said today, I don't even know if Kathy Engelbert understands that I've retired at this point because she never reaches out. She never talks to me. Right, there's not a line of communication open between her and the players. And I think in this particular situation, looking at how feeble this statement was, looking at how former and current players are talking about her, I think they need to find a new commissioner. I think she needs to step down. I think they need to find a new commissioner that's going to be on the same page with them. Because you're in a moment right now in the WNBA where you have the most room for growth and most positive chance to grow going into the future. And Kathy Engelbert's not the person that should be heading up this league when you have this moment. I truly believe that. So I thought it was a feeble statement. I don't blame Nafisa Collier and all these players for feeling how they do. And I think it's about time that Kathy Engelbert steps away and let somebody else do the job.
I thought that what Nafisa Collier did was
very brave, by the way.
Badass. It was awesome that she did that. It can hopefully change the WNBA for the better because she called out the commissioner who deserved to be called out. Her statements behind closed doors or when she thought that she was talking to allies and dragging players' names through the mud and saying that only losers complain about bad refereeing. First off, the referees are horrific in the WNBA. These women are beating the living crap out of each other with no fouls happening sometimes. They have got to fix things. Kathy, to me, sounds like the NCAA when they didn't want to pay players. Well, they should be lucky they get a free education. Well, they should be lucky that they get this. Well, they should be lucky they get exposure and they can make it. It is absolutely ridiculous that you are trying to hold back your players and your league from making the most money that it possibly could. There is so much division in the WNBA between players and teams and fan bases.
Very much.
It is so toxic. And when you find out about things like this from a player like Nafisa Collier about the commissioner, it makes sense why there's so much toxicity.
And then the rest of the WNBA players agree with Nafisa Collier.
Not a single
that
person
tells
has
you
come
the
to
story.
Kathy's defense.
That tells you the whole story, and that tells you, Kathy, your time's up. It's over. Somebody else needs to take over. You cannot have your entire players' association.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
That angry with you and keep your job. That simple. You're supposed to represent the owners, I get that, but you're supposed to represent your players as well. And you're supposed to have an open line of communication. Again, going back to Adam Silver, I may not like the decisions that Adam Silver makes at every turn.
I dislike most of them.
But here's the thing. I know for a fact Adam Silver has a very open line of communication with his players.
Well, here's what he's doing. Simple. The players are making the most money they ever have.
Yes, but he also talks to them and sees what they want and tries to go back and forth and collaborate.
He's
at least a little bit.
He's lining their pockets.
Yes.
Kathy's not doing that with the WNBA
at
players.
All.
It
at
seems
all.
Like she's actively pushing back against that stuff.
Yes, 100%.
Kathy, step into my office. You're effing fired.
I think she needs to be done. I think somebody else needs to take over. And again, to Nafisa Collier, I don't know how this all plays out. I think it's a positive to get Kathy Engelbert out of that seat, but it was some bravery on her behalf to speak up for the rest of the players in the league. And this could be, truthfully, just watching her 4.5-minute statement on Kathy Engelbert and the leadership that they have. I think this could be a turning point moment for the WNBA as a whole. But that will do it for the Blitz. One more segment left of the day. We'll go ahead and rewind when we return right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.